Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, the only show that takes a look at the obstacles and opportunities open to small to mid-sized enterprises that manufacture here in America. Brought to you by All Metals and Forge Group, with your hosts, Tim Grady and Lou Wise.
Welcome, everyone, to Manufacturing Talk Radio. We're glad to be back with you on this Tuesday. We're broadcasting on a very interesting subject today. We're going to be talking about Manufacturing Day, which is happening on Friday, but really this is the whole week that we're going to be talking about Manufacturing Day, and we've been involved with it all week long. We have three guests on with us that will talk about Manufacturing Day and all the things that are happening all over the country and in Canada and Puerto Rico. Before we get to that, I'd like to say hello to my co-host, Lou Wise.
I thought you forgot about me.
No, never.
Oh, yeah. Everything's great. A little tired from all the activities of manufacturing week activities. And my wife will recognize me in a week or so, I guess. To get right to it, postscripts from last week. We had Cliff Waldman from MAPI giving us his quarterly report on economics and forecasts on a domestic and global basis, and he put forth quite a bit of forecasting information. I recommend that for your companies that you might want to tune into this and see what's coming and see what you need to do to help yourself or protect yourself. So tune in to last week at mfgtalkradio.com. As far as our news is concerned, and Tim has already given you some of the headline information on it, that we're pretty much involved with Manufacturing Day. This is the second year that we're doing it, and this is the fourth year that Manufacturing Day event is taking place. And yesterday, Manufacturing Talk Radio was at NJIT, which was the New Jersey Manufacturing Day kickoff event, and there are other events here in New Jersey, including on Manufacturing Day, that we are going to be present at and doing interviews. And actually, we did 9 interviews yesterday with some very important, bright people, 8 women, and we did have a token male, and some very exciting conversation, really great people. As of 12 noon today, Manufacturing Day has a total of 2,043 participants, and I think last year it was 1,600, and so that 2,143 could wind up being several hundred more. So we're looking forward for you, the Manufacturing Day people, to have a real great success story this year. Actually, they have Canada, Mexico, Puerto Rico included, and you seem to be going global on this event, which is really terrific. One last news bit, not as good news as you might think. General Electric last week made 2 announcements that 2 of their plants are moving to England. And today's news, they are shutting down their Wisconsin plant and moving to Canada. And the reason for it is that GE cannot get financing for these overseas projects from Ex-Im Bank because Ex-Im Bank doesn't exist. It seems as though that our guys in Washington, the infamous Congress, have not approved or reauthorized funding for Ex-Im Bank. So, Congress, get your stuff in row and make it happen. This is important stuff. We've now lost 1,300 jobs from GE just within the last 2 weeks. So on that note, Tim?
All right, I'll try to dig us out of that hole because it's not good news. But we have some great news, and we've got some great guests today. We're very excited to have Ed Udell back with us. He's president and CEO of the Fabricators and Manufacturers Association International. He's one of the individuals who was involved in the creation and launch of Manufacturing Day. Ed, welcome back to the show.
Hi, good to be with you.
Glad to have you here, and we also have Jennifer McNeely, who's president of the Manufacturing Institute, with us. Jennifer, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here today.
And if we've gotten our technical glitch out of the way, we're looking to have Chandra Brown, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Manufacturing, U.S.
I'm
Department
here.
Hey, Chandra's there. Hi, Chandra.
Technical glitch fixed. I'm so excited to be on your show and talk about Manufacturing Day.
Oh, that's great. We're glad to have you here. I am going to go to Ed first. And Ed, I just want you to give us an update on what's happening with Manufacturing Day. You and I were talking a bit before the hour on what's happening around the country. So why don't you bring us up to speed on that?
Sure. We are at 2,047 events. So we've had four more folks register events since you took your measurement. And we've got 19 events in Canada, a couple in Mexico, but primarily, domestic U.S. focused events penetrating, and we expect probably upwards of, several hundred thousand people will be attending and participating in the Manufacturing Day events in totality. Some highlights to really focus on, we've got 7 states that have more than 100 events in each state. Florida, unbelievable as that sounds, has the most events with 164. Michigan follows behind them, California, Ohio, and Iowa. Iowa is very interesting this year in that they've managed to get an event in every county in the state of Iowa this year. So they've created great access to the people of Iowa for the opportunity to participate in Manufacturing Day. After Iowa, Pennsylvania, and then Indiana has 102 events planned. So those are just some highlights. And, of course, all our great partners are participating in the event, and there'll be the How It's Made Marathon again on Friday, October 2nd. So for those folks who can't get out there and visit a plant in the comfort of your own home, we hope that you would sit down with your family and watch and learn about how things are made and the importance of using technology and your hands and skill and brain power to create valuable products for the American society.
I'd like to point out also that there is a television show on October 2. You want to give us the station and the program that's going to be broadcast?
It's so, Discovery Network, the Science Channel, How It's Made.
Right.
So
right.
Check your local listings and, don't leave your television for 24 hours.
Hey, Ed, it's Jennifer. We also have the Alcoa Virtual Tour. Last year, Discovery Education and Alcoa Foundation partnered together to do a real-time live tour for students and teachers that couldn't plug into a facility. So we're really excited in Whitehall, Michigan, that will stream live during Manufacturing Day. In fact, I look forward to joining that event myself.
Cool. Awesome.
I'd like to bring up for those listeners who might not have tuned in to what Manufacturing Day is, which I don't know how that could possibly be because it's all over the news. So when is somebody, Ed, why don't you give us a kind of a critique for about 30 seconds and tell us what it's all about, why we're doing all this, and what you hope to gain by it?
Sure. What we're trying to really accomplish through the idea of Manufacturing Day is to allow manufacturers to invite communities, children, school kids, legislators, educators into their facilities so that people can see firsthand what modern manufacturing is. And the real challenge as we move forward is to attract the best and the brightest into careers in manufacturing. In a poll recently conducted by Deloitte, 90% of Americans believe manufacturing is very important to economic prosperity for our country. Yet, parents, when interviewed, with only 1 out of 3 would encourage their children to pursue a career in manufacturing. So we're really trying to address that issue as to why people might not be so willing to encourage folks to pursue careers in manufacturing, and we feel the best way to do that is for exposure by manufacturers themselves and talking to their own communities and having the dialogue and letting people see that it's not 1925 inside their doors. It's modern technology is in place. It's high tech. it's advanced thinking, there's lean processes, you know, just-in-time inventory, all these different things that make manufacturing great and a competitive on the world stage. U.S. manufacturing, if you took it all by itself as one economy, it would be the 10th largest economy in the world, bigger than India. So when people say we don't make stuff in the U.S., that simply isn't true, and we're a world power when it comes to manufacturing, and we just want to be sure that we're reinforcing that message.
Hey, Tim and Lou, this is Jennifer. Can I add that to all the manufacturers that are listening today and amp
sure.
up the importance of the why? And that is, you know, we've just finished, and tomorrow we're going to release a study with the Educational Research Center of America that actually, you know, reaches students in the classroom. And what's so important about that is 64% of students say they make career decisions based on interest and experience. So that, and if they're not exposed to what manufacturing careers are, they're nowhere on the radar. Equally, in our public perception study that Ed was noting earlier with Deloitte, individuals that have been exposed to manufacturing careers that aligns with their interest, twice as likely to consider careers in manufacturing. So the importance of manufacturers being engaged at the community level to show students and parents and teachers and counselors, you know, what opportunities they are right there at home is so important. So to any manufacturer listening out there today, what you do on October 2nd and every day of the year in exposing young people really makes a difference in their decision making.
Well, I want to go to Chandra for a moment. And Chandra, both Ed and Jennifer have been on our show before. You have not. So let me give you an opportunity to introduce yourself. And you're working with the U.S. Department of Congress, and give our listeners a feel for what you do and your involvement with Manufacturing Day.
Absolutely. It is such a pleasure to be on your show. I am Chandra Brown. I am the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Manufacturing for the United States Department of Commerce. And I have to say, I think it's the best title in government because I have a fabulous job. I get to actually travel not only the United States, but around the world promoting U.S. manufactured products. Really, my kind of motto is something that the president said that I think is still incredibly valid. We have to out-innovate, out-educate, and out-build the rest of the world. And that's why Manufacturing Day in particular is so important, because as Ed and Jennifer, I've worked with both of them. Jennifer's fantastic with some of the work NAM has been doing. We know that there is a workforce issue. We know that there's a perception issue. But we also know that we still are the most productive and best workforce in the world, and we need to keep that. So I think Manufacturing Day has been an incredibly successful event that we started here at Commerce and have pushed out. Obviously, the growth numbers, as Ed said, are incredibly impressive. But I think we can't emphasize enough, as has been done, the importance of this. And I wanted to add to all the great previous comments. In particular, I have a passion about, as Jennifer knows, about women in manufacturing and minorities. And as she said, you know, related to basically, if you're a family who's familiar with manufacturing, you know how great it is. And so they're twice as likely to encourage their kids. But even with that statistic, parents aren't as likely to encourage, for example, their daughters versus their sons. So I really think, too, that Manufacturing Day is a great, because really women in particular and girls, we like to see things, right? So I think getting out there and highlighting the minority and women that are such a critical piece of this manufacturing workforce is also a really important thing related to this day.
Yesterday at NJIT, during our keynote, I did point out that the problems and issues of skill gaps and the gray hairs retiring and all of that issue, that Henry Stimson, Second World War, 1940-41, came out with a statement stating, we need 5 million new jobs, and 2.5 million of them have to be women. So we've been here before, we succeeded before, so I have no qualms about how we're going to be able to deal with these issues going forward.
And if I could, I could also I could also add, you know, we've been talking to the manufacturers. I was a manufacturer for 20 years. I ran a company in Oregon Iron Works and United Streetcar out in Portland, Oregon. So we built boats and bridges and streetcars. It was a great company, and I really believe that the more that we can get exposure, and particularly I'm going to San Diego coming up. I'm going to be touring a bunch of companies, but I'm also touring the educational institutions, as we've talked about, getting to the younger folks in high school, the technical schools, even into the junior high school, middle school levels, all the way up into the incredible universities and STEM research that is being done. So I just really encourage anyone who's out there, you know, not just parents of students, but just in your community to go find the local event. I actually find it to be one of my favorite things I do in the entire year is going to a variety of, again, whether it's schools, guitar makers, robot makers, you know, any area. I can't emphasize enough how much fun it is for people.
Ed, I want to go to you and just get a little snippet of history. I know you shared this with us last year. I'd like you to share it with, again, our listeners this year. How did Manufacturing Day come to be, and who was involved?
So I was meeting with my good buddy, DeLeap, from the Department of Commerce, specifically the National Institute of Standards and Technology, and he came out to see me. He was working on an innovation project, and he is very much involved with the Manufacturing Extension Partnership Program that is run through the Department of Commerce, and we were talking about how to create exposure for my members, my member companies, job shops, and metal fabricators to the services of MEP, and you know, we kind of talked about that, and I said, well, why don't we hold FMA Day, and then we'll let you open up all your centers, and then we'll invite our members to go out and meet with your people to understand what MEP has to offer our members. And then I kind of sat back and thought about it and thought, you know what, it's bigger than that. We're not going to do FMA Day. We're going to do Manufacturing Day, and I think let's get NAM involved, and the Department of Commerce, and these were kind of the three guys on the ground floor, and then we got Jennifer involved because of the great work with the Dream It Do It Network. Pretty soon, we were the four founding partners of Manufacturing Day, and we started with 240 events 4 years ago, and today we're over 2,000 events. You know, it's very dramatic, and I think people understand the importance of it, and you know, it's incredibly rewarding. You know, the personal side of my story is I grew up in Michigan, a small town. My dad was a tool and die maker for General Motors. So I understand firsthand the value of manufacturing to families and communities and what it means and the strength of the middle class and how it can prosper through manufacturing jobs. And, you know, it's important to me that we make that opportunity available to more people. And that's really the genesis of Manufacturing Day.
Great. Thank you very much. Chandra, could you give our listeners who may not have a grasp on it, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure I've got a complete grasp, on the Manufacturing Extension Partnership Program that the Department of Commerce has?
Sure. We have an incredible Manufacturing Extension Partnership. It is actually located in all 50 states as well as Puerto Rico. And basically, they are your on-the-ground experts. And I can personally attest because I have used them in the Oregon MEP when I used to be a manufacturer. And they offer a variety of resources and services, again, right in your own community. Everything from lean training, also export assistance for folks that are looking to expand their markets, kind of matchmaking with other companies that are looking for products. So they are really incredible about helping companies improve their production process, adopt new technologies, or even take a new good perhaps to a different market. So they're really incredible, and they're often as with many things in the government, I'm surprised how many people haven't heard about it, because
right.
it is a really great resource right in your own backyard. I encourage everyone around the United States to look at your local manufacturing extension partnership. You can Google it and find out who your local contact is, and I would highly recommend them.
Thanks. Thanks, Chandra. And one of the things that has been near and dear to my heart over the years, and I've emphasized it, and I guess for the first time in my life, I'm actually beginning to see the partnership between industry and education. And I know that, Jennifer, you were named one of the inaugural 100 women leaders in STEM. I wonder if you could speak a little bit to our audience about STEM, and also about the integration between industry and educational associations or educational institutions, and really how this is going to feed into helping our manufacturers.
Sure, absolutely. And I'll sort of draw a picture of, we got to get them excited. We got to get them into the right education and job training programs that lead them into our nation's manufacturing doors. And it really is a continuum from exciting to engaging, training, and employing, and all the way around in a big old circle. And it's important in the early years to understand, as there is a big discussion on the importance of science, technology, engineering, and math education, that individuals understand manufacturing is a STEM field, that we have, huge analytics and data analysis and graphic design and sales and marketing, pretty much any job classification within manufacturing. But as we're exposing to kids in the very early age and through programs like Dream It, Do It, we need to get them to be excited about making things. And that's really where, in early education, you're getting them excited about thinking and building and doing and operating in a team, all principles that you carry forward later in your work career. And then as they enter into high school, getting them into good technical training programs that lead them. And in order to set the standard of those training programs, we really need industry engaged. And one of the hallmark strategies the Institute has worked with employers on is the use of industry certification. So if you're in a welding program, we want you to come out American Welding Society certified, so that is a language that speaks to the employer knowing what an individual can do. And without industry active and engaged all the way along the education continuum, we're sort of a passive investor. You know, to Chandra and Ed's earlier point, we have challenges in finding the right workers unless we're active at the table, informing curriculum, requesting the certifications, offering opportunities like plant tours and summer camps. Then, in fact, we won't make progress in building the flexible, adaptable next-generation workforce. And that's really important for employers to lead and be the voice in driving the change they're looking for at the community level.
I'd like to get a little bit off topic, but the misconception point that we've been talking about, and I've run into some of this on a personal level, and people that I've been talking to about manufacturing and trying to get a group of 17 students from the Passaic Institute of Technology here in New Jersey to participate in Manufacturing Day. And one of the misconceptions, of course, is about benefits and salaries and so on. Ed, could you speak to that a little bit? Because I think that along with dark, dirty, and dangerous and all of those buzzwords, I'm not sure that everybody fully understands the compensation packages that are available after a short period of time of a youngster getting involved in manufacturing. So
sure.
It's really an open question, but Ed, why don't you lead it off?
If you look at the most recent data from the National Association of Manufacturers, in 2013, U.S. manufacturing professionals earned an average of $77,000 annually, including wages and benefits. And then when you compare that across all industries, the average for workers is $62,500. So right there you can see the great advantage for those careers as it relates to working in manufacturing. Additionally, then you look at the multiplier effect of manufacturing jobs to the economy. So, you know, about one in six jobs are private sector, and, you know, it for every dollar put into manufacturing, $1.42, one of the estimates is $1.42 goes back into the economy. So, you know, right there you start to see the value, and that's how you support the dry cleaner, the bakery, strong school systems, strong property tax. You know, that's why, you know, when Americans are asked, you know, if you were given the opportunity to create 1,000 new jobs in your community, manufacturing would be the top of the list for the kind of organization they want to come to their community. So, you know, I really can't emphasize it any more than that. But, you know, these are good-paying jobs. They offer family-supporting wages. And that's really, you know, what we're talking about today. I don't think, especially in today's, global environment, having a strong U.S. manufacturing base has never been more important. And having those competencies, the intelligence, the innovation here in the States to make things, it's so important that we maintain that going forward in, you know, what can be an uncertain world.
Not to be negative, but prior to my contacting Passaic Institute of Technology, I had reached out to another local high school and to suggest to them that we get a group together and we'll take care of all the finances and so on in transporting a group of students down to NJMEP on October 2. And the school, finally, after chasing them for a bit, they came back to me and they said, well, you know, we're not really a trade school. We're really an academic school. And they didn't want any part of it. And I think they missed the boat.
I think they missed a huge opportunity there. And this is Jennifer. And, you know, that's one of the bees in my bonnet is I think we have a huge disconnect between what we need as a nation to be strong and competitive and what we're expecting from an outcome perspective on the education side. We don't measure throughput by did somebody enter into a good career and have a family-sustaining job, and to Ed's point, 90% of manufacturers offer medical benefits today. You know, good family-supporting, not just wages, but the benefits, building communities, building roads, yet there isn't an understanding because we have a societal issue that success is defined by a 4-year baccalaureate degree. And we have a lot of students, and you see a lot of headlines around student debt and the value. Yet, in the end, these are great technical jobs that are STEM-related jobs that require thinking. It is not your grandfather's manufacturing anymore.
If I could chime in here, I can just tee right off of what you just said, Jennifer, in that I think one of the things that I would have told that school that I think is missing here is that, you know, 3/4 of all R&D, so research and development, innovation, is coming from these manufacturing jobs and sector. So it is related to academia. If you are looking, the word is always innovative and entrepreneurship. You hear that a lot. And manufacturing is directly tied to that. 70% plus of all patents are related to manufacturing. So I think that sometimes with the, you know, the schools that say academic versus trade, it's a really important point to let them know. And I've also told people, again, from a very practical standpoint, when I was executive at our manufacturing company, I used to laugh because I would say the folks in the shop that had the skilled trades, welders, fitters, machinists, that were making the $70,000 and up, as was previously mentioned, they didn't have any debt. So they were buying their houses and starting their families sooner than a lot of my fantastic engineers, you know, that had 4 to 6 years of college debt that they were trying to pay off before they move forward. So to Jennifer's point, I think it is the whole system. And I would tell them a variety of those things. You can come start debt-free and build your life while making a really great upper middle class wage job.
I think it's an excellent point. You brought out some rather surprising statistics, Chandra, that 75% of all R&D is in the manufacturing sector, something I didn't know, and I'm glad our audience heard. 70% of patents coming out of manufacturing, something I didn't know. Glad our audience heard. And we're going to hear some more interesting things when we come back after a short commercial break to Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Manufacturing Talk Radio will be right back.
American Crane and Equipment Corporation in Douglasville, Pennsylvania is a leader in specialized cranes, hoists, and material handling equipment for industries including aerospace, nuclear, oil and gas, transit, construction, and waste handling. Call 877-877-6778 or visit AmericanCrane.com. That's AmericanCrane.com or 877-877-6778.
All Metals and Forge Group is an ISO 9001 AS and EN 9100 manufacturer of open die forgings and seamless rolled rings in alloy, carbon, stainless and tool steels, aluminum, copper, titanium, and nickel alloys. Visit us at steelforge.com or call 800-600-9290.
How do you keep your business humming? Where do you go when you're looking for quality suppliers of new equipment? Components, MRO supplies, repair services, or even raw materials. 30 years ago, you would have turned to the Thomas Register. Today, those big green books are better than ever at thomasnet.com, industry's leading platform for product sourcing and supplier discovery. You can easily find that local machine shop, national distributor, OEM, or any supplier having the right quality certification. Fast and free. You can even get to specific products, components, or downloadable 3D CAD drawings simply by entering specifications or part numbers. There's a reason ThomasNet.com has become the go-to supplier discovery tool for procurement professionals and engineers. There's simply no other resource like it, and it's all free. Go to ThomasNet.com today and see how top-notch supplier discovery doesn't have to put a dent into your bottom line.
Welcome back to Manufacturing Talk Radio.
We are certainly glad to be speaking with Ed Udell, President and CEO of Fabricators and Manufacturers Association here on Manufacturing Talk Radio. We're also speaking with Jennifer McNeely, who's the President of the Manufacturing Institute, and Chandra Brown, who's Deputy Assistant Secretary for Manufacturing, U.S. Department of Commerce. And Chandra, just before the break, we were talking about the disconnect between manufacturing and some of the educational institutions, particularly K-12. I wonder if you could share with our listeners what the Department of Commerce is at least trying to do or working on to help the K-12 group understand the importance of manufacturing and where their students should be involved.
Absolutely. So obviously there's a variety of paths, but I'm just so appreciative that in general in the United States we've recognized that the manufacturing path actually does start younger than people think, and that is in the grade schools and all the way on up through high school. So a variety of things that we're emphasizing. I mean, obviously with Manufacturing Day, which is what we're discussing, we are high schools and even younger classes are opening, and we're trying to target bringing in, again, we can't influence people young enough in terms of the perception of manufacturing. So bringing in younger students, you know, to the open and taking them on the online and the virtual tours. So that's one example. But specifically, we're working a lot with apprenticeships. We think that's another great model. We at the Department of Commerce, in conjunction with the Department of Labor and other agencies, have really been pushing that skilled kind of pipeline, whereas, as Jennifer said, while a four-year degree is great and is necessary for many professions, the reality is there are alternate paths, and one of those that we find very successful in the manufacturing arena is apprenticeships, and really folks, both men and women in high school, for example, are out in the field actually working, learning the lessons, and they're much more likely to stay within the manufacturing field, again, when they get that experience and they can see actually how exciting it is. When we talk about the research and development, people forget, you know, there's just as many computer programmers needed often as there are welders, and there's just as many designers and robotics folks as there are, you know, the fitters and machinists. So we need both, and a lot of times I think the scope of the different jobs available isn't really known, particularly at the high school level. So I think that's another great area where we're really trying to outreach and push apprenticeships as a great model.
Well, I think that's very helpful. You know, it doesn't take more than just to look around or reach around to realize, no matter where you are at this particular moment when you're listening to this show or out in the world, everything that you can see and touch was manufactured. So if you look at that perspective, you'll find out just how important manufacturing is. A lot of people are watching football this time of the year. A lot of that field was manufactured. The entire stadium was manufactured. The helmets, everything there was manufactured. So that's how important manufacturing is. Ed, now I know that you've got coming up here in November another show called Fab Tech. We will be broadcasting from that show. And that's an opportunity, if I'm not mistaken, where people from the general public can come in and see and feel and touch and maybe even poke a few buttons on an iPad to run some of the equipment that is there on the exhibit hall floor. Is that correct?
Well, the show is really focused for those professionals who work in the metal fabricating and forming industry. We will have 1,400 plus exhibitors from around the United States as well as Europe, Asia. So it's a very global show. We expect over 40,000 manufacturing professionals will attend. And really, it is the culmination of the latest and greatest technology available for a job shop owner to run and be competitive on a global scale. So it's a very exciting event. It's a very dynamic event. And, we're very pleased to be a part of the group of associations, the American Welding Society, the Precision Metal Forming Society, SME, and the Chemical Coaters Association. We'll all partner together to produce the event.
It is a great event. We enjoy being there. It's amazing. The machinery that people will see at Manufacturing Day events, when they go into manufacturing plants, the latest and greatest stuff is going to be at FabTech. So Manufacturing Day is really an excellent exposure for, I think, the public of all ages to actually get in and see some of these things in operation. And one of the things that's always fascinating to me, there's really kind of two aspects. One is a lot of this stuff is run by an iPad these days. It's an amazing thing to watch somebody operating very powerful machinery that is producing parts with an iPad in their hands instead of working levers and pulleys and the like. And the other thing in manufacturing I think is important for people to recognize is that it's one of the few industries you can be involved in where you can touch and see and smell and hold the things that were made by your efforts. So that's kind of an exciting thing to even do, be out in the public or wherever you may be living your life and see a product that you helped create. That's an exciting piece of it. Jennifer,
I was going to build and jump right on that because our
go
tagline.
Go for it. I was headed for you anyways.
I appreciate that. Appreciate that softball right my direction. So, you know, Manufacturing Day is sort of one day a year. Dream It, Do It is 364 days of the year. And through our Dream It, Do It network, now operating in community-based partnerships at the state and local level, really does exactly that. In fact, our tagline for Dream It, Do It is the thought becomes the thing, to what you were mentioning earlier. You know, manufacturing is life-saving medicines. We make cars drive really, really fast. We make airplanes that fly. Yet we don't really talk about manufacturing that way. So through our Dream It, Do It network and the partners that we have across the country, they're giving students those real-world experiences every single day where they're building and making and experiencing, and that is so critical in this process. The other thing I want to comment on is Chandra's point on apprenticeships and, I would argue, broadly work-based learning, job shadowing, all the things that get it one step beyond. That was exciting, so what do I do? We have seen a huge resurgence among manufacturers rethinking their recruitment strategies to offer opportunities like work-based learning. And I'll go to the Kentucky FAME model. That's a network of small, medium, and large manufacturers where students are going through, and some are high school students, some are actually transitioning veterans. We haven't brought up, you know, we have great sources in addition to women and transitioning veterans that are a whole other pipeline that we need good pathways for them. And through programs like the Kentucky FAME model or where we have career academies where students are graduating from high school with college credit, work-based experience, moving into great career opportunities. So, you know, as we talk about that, you know, battle of the four-year degree, we would never argue. What we want to make sure is people get the learning when they need it to advance, and that's where tuition reimbursement helps that high school student that enters into a job that then goes to the community college part-time, ends up an engineer because it helped them advance in their career. So, you know, we're so fortunate to have our Dream It Do It network working on the ground in partnership with industry throughout the year.
If this is Ed, if I could add just a couple of things to that.
Sure.
As well as something I've said today, and I try to say it more and more all the time, is the words manufacturing professional, because our responsibility as people who support the industry is to give those people the respect that they do. You know, the skill that folks have when they work in manufacturing, it needs to be valued. So I think we can start a step towards that is to call people manufacturing professionals. No one ever grew up wanting to be a worker. I don't think anybody had that as a life goal. So, you know, if we can start to change the language we use, that's part of our responsibility. One additional thing we're doing here at FMA specifically to address the issue is we have donated $500,000 and partnered with Harper College to name their metal fab lab, with our goal being they're going to take our certification curriculum and make it part of the offerings that the college has, so that the metal fabricating students coming out of the school are using the best technology. They're going to get the latest certifications, and that's our job as an association, is to create that opportunity, and then we'll invite our members and our constituency to the college and try to marry those students who are well-educated with the opportunities for careers in, at least here in the Chicagoland area. So that's how we're trying to walk the walk and talk the talk in support of the things that Jennifer has highlighted.
I'd like to ask a question, and I don't want you to think that this is a gotcha question. It's I'm not sure you would have the information on this yet or not. May be too new for the four-year program that you've been involved in now. But has anyone established an analytics as to the results of these last 3-4 years of Manufacturing Day, as to how many people has it helped? Has it gotten people into manufacturing? Has companies actually started to solve skill set issues? Employment issues and things of this nature.
So
Jennifer,
I'll
let you take this.
I appreciate that, Ed. So I think that was another softball my direction.
Great.
And let me tell you what we're doing around the analytics, because ultimately, as manufacturers, we're always thinking about, is it making a difference? Does it have an impact? And up to this point, it has been, you know, we've seen a trajectory of mobilizing manufacturers for engagement. So that consistent growth in participation is the first step. We actually will launch on Manufacturing Day this year a national data collection mechanism for participants in Manufacturing Day that starts to look at impact. And as you know, the Institute does a lot of the research around skills development, and we're so honored that Deloitte has partnered with the producers of Manufacturing Day. And we're going to link it to our public perception, our skills gap, and a national collection system that we've built. So we will this time get to some of those impacts. Is it making a difference in career decision making? What's more important about the partnership with Deloitte is how we then apply those same principles to, you know, all the Dream It Do It programs and, you know, Ed and the Nuts, Bolts, and Thingamajigs programs, but anybody that is interfacing with students, how we make the data collection available to them so that they can do analytics and improve their performance. But we have heard stories. One of our manufacturers in Florida, the first year they had a student going through, and she's now working in the facility. So we hear the one-offs and the great stories, and I've read a lot of the personal thank you letters from students that have said, you know, I never had any idea that this is what manufacturing was, but we are implementing the metrics this year.
And if I could add to that from the USG side, the United States government side, you know, we totally appreciate that's the really hard work and the metrics that the Manufacturing Institute is working on with Deloitte. We are also, but trying to do it in kind of a different way where we're reaching the students and folks. I hope everyone here knows it's hashtag MFGDay15, and we are really going to try to be using social media too as much as possible to collect exactly these type of stories, and we'll be putting stories of the successes, exactly as Jennifer said. We've heard many stories of folks that have hired them where they've gone back and now they're working in it, or they've changed their whole career path, or even the studies that they were doing in high school, or they've applied for more apprenticeship programs and they've upticked. So we're going to try to be collecting those stories. We'll be putting them on the website. And obviously we're going to be asking people, like, what did you learn at, you know, Manufacturing Day? And whether it's through Facebook, through, you know, the hashtags, to try to, I would encourage your audience to give us as much feedback as possible on what worked on both sides, not only from the manufacturing side, but we'd love to hear directly from the students and the schools and the universities and the other participants as well.
Ed, you want to chime in on this? This is I'm glad I asked the question.
You know, Jennifer and their relationship, we're very fortunate. You know, it's kind of, if I've done anything as it relates to Manufacturing Days, that the thing I'm most proud of is we picked really good, smart, good people to partner with. And Manufacturing Institute has this wonderful relationship with Deloitte that Jennifer said, hey, maybe we could get them to help us with Manufacturing Day and we can measure the impact of this. And so it's through that relationship that now Deloitte's involved with us. And the event grows in its scale and its scope, and we're going to measure that impact. And I'm, you know, super confident that the results are going to be great, and we'll just build on them every year. And we're going to show that this event is changing perceptions, and ultimately that will lead to participation from people down the road in terms of careers and the growth of manufacturing. And, you know, its continued importance to the U.S. economy.
Can I bring forward one voice we haven't quite talked to yet, which we've also seen the growth of the education institutions that have manufacturing programs that are also bringing students through. And I'm going to give a shout-out to WATC, the Wichita Area Technical College, because they sent me a set of drumsticks that have been laser cut that every student will get that comes through from all the high schools in their area, because they're doing a college tour day around the manufacturing programs. And we actually have had students in the Wichita area that have been through the college that are now enrolled in the college and never thought of it as an option. So not only are you going to walk away with something really cool, a set of drumsticks that remind them with the MFG Day hashtag on it, but they're also all going to make 3D printed guitars. So our education partners that have programs of study have really stepped up on Manufacturing Day too to help create that bridge and link. And we just haven't had a chance to celebrate the hard work that they're doing to then draw in the students that enter into these careers as well. So it's really going to be a great year.
You make a great point, because when we were at the New Jersey Institute of Technology yesterday, they have a whole area of the campus in a building that they're now revamping, calling it the Factory of the Future, where they're going to build many thousands of square feet of factory floor operation where they can actually take students through so that they can see it without leaving the campus. So that'll be a very cool thing. Chandra, I want to go back to you for just a moment, because the U.S. Department of Commerce is a big department of the United States government, and I'm sure that there are several touch points to Manufacturing Day. I wonder if there are any that we haven't touched on yet that you'd like to mention.
Well, I think that you've actually done a really good job covering most of what we're doing. What I will say is, you know, I do think I want to mention, not just from the U.S. Department of Commerce side, but also as a shout out to all of the United States government, while we are the lead agency, I think it's important to know that this is, you know, from the president on down, an important initiative. We have cabinet members going out for Manufacturing Day from other agencies, I believe, you know, from energy, transportation, so from our sector. secretary and undersecretary, assistant secretary. So, you know, we are really, as much as we can in the government, trying to draw attention. It's obviously, we want to shine the light. We're also across the country, you know, geographically. So I think that's one of the things I wanted to mention, too. Like, we will do our part as much as we can to help try to draw attention, you know, to what we consider is absolutely critical to the future of the middle class of this country. And that's, you know, the workforce and the perception issues related to manufacturing, that Manufacturing Day really was created to help.
Great. Chandra, is there anything that, you know, if you had a wish list and you were saying, gee, I wish industry would, or I wish the educational institutions would in some different capacity in working with the Department of Commerce, is there anything that runs across your mind to say, gee, if they would only do this, we could do that?
Wow. That is a very hard question because I have a very long wish list. let's see. What shall I choose today? I actually think the best thing and the thing I would ask is it really is all about leveraging. You know, in a time of limited resources, you know, and having one person or two people and the ability to go out, we are so dependent on our manufacturing and our educational institute partners. So even, you know, us putting together the website of www.manufacturingday.gov, I think, you know, anything that we can do to increase the message. So we have so many great programs, like we talked about, the Manufacturing Extension Partnership. We also have incredible things about exporting. We think the future of manufacturing is also related to the 95% of the world's consumers that live outside the United States. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's so many advocacy. We can go around the world and advocate for U.S.-made products. So there's just so many incredible, you know, manufacturing programs, most of them for free, and I would just love to be able to get the word out more. So, you know, the more engagement we can have and the more feedback going back and forth, so that's my kind of broader ask, and I really appreciate you allowing me to even mention that because it's a great question.
Our pleasure.
I have a point that came up a couple of days ago regarding the 45 million poverty people in this country who don't have jobs, don't have good jobs, don't have enough jobs that can, you know, pay their rent and buy food. And I don't know if you have anything within the bag of tricks that the three of you are playing in, but is there a way that you can take a look at this work pool of poverty people, perhaps undereducated people, where they can be trained to perform certain manufacturing tasks and bring them into the fold also? It's a huge potential pool. Naturally, not everybody could fit the program, but there's a lot of people. You got to be able to find a couple of million that you can take off the dole and put them into work projects.
So is Jennifer, and we actually have examples of where that is happening across our network. And the strategy of industry-based credentials, and I can't stress this enough, is it removes barriers of perception. So whether it's a young person, a transitioning veteran, a woman, a dislocated worker, a underemployed, if they can achieve the competencies, it's going to be the gateway to a job. And just yesterday I was down in South Carolina, one of our credentialing partners, ACT, which has the National Career Readiness Credential, was speaking from stage in a community, and in this case it was in Louisiana, about how they're certifying individuals that are re-entering society. And in that case, they are individuals transitioning out of incarceration and back into employment opportunities. And the critical role that the certification made in opening the gateway and removing a stigma associated with their past. And I firmly believe that the drive that manufacturers are now starting to put in place creates that gateway. And there were others from Tennessee, Missouri, where individuals through the publicly funded workforce system were achieving industry certifications and employment opportunities. And we as manufacturers need to have strategies around every pipeline, not just our youth, which we do reach a lot through Manufacturing Day, but we have strong strategies around transitioning veterans. The whole reason, you know, Chandra is an example of a woman leader in manufacturing, and we need to tell that story so people and other women, single moms, can see themselves in these careers. And that's really what we see the Institute as, how you tell the story so others can create opportunity. It's a really important point.
I think this is terrific because it is a huge pool, and you know, we all, in Americans, we enjoy the benefits, and there are so many who are not. So I think that's terrific that you're all getting involved in that as well.
Jennifer, I'm going to go to you, and then we'll go to Ed. We're getting near the end of the show, but I want to talk a little bit about Dream It, Do It, which we have heard about here recently, and it's getting a little more exposure to give you an opportunity to talk that up a little bit, because, you know, when I grew up watching a show called Star Trek, and you'd see all of these amazing science space implements and think, wow, those would be cool only if they were real. Today's generation looks at those and goes, well, I bet I can make that. And the end result of that is that recently they've designed the invisibility cloak that was in Harry Potter only 3 years after that idea was introduced. So what's happening with Dream It, Do It? Is it happening across the country?
That's a great question, and I have some exciting news to share about Dream It, Do It and its next generation. So we do have Dream It, Do It active in 38 states across the country. Last year, we reached 365,000 students, over 60,000 educators and parents. So it's having real-world, community-based, we kind of call it the grassroots strategy. And that's really important, but as we've talked today, it's really important for employers to lead in that conversation, and I'm pleased to share on the call today that on October 2nd, we will announce what we're calling The Voice, and that is an in-the-box kit that we hand to our nation's manufacturers that mobilizes their workforce. And in the end, if we're going to solve the perception campaign around manufacturing and careers, we need the 12 million employed in manufacturing as our frontline ambassadors. And The Voice itself is particularly targeted at the under 30. You know, we talked about how earlier in the call how, you know, nice they hear from me, it's a great career opportunity. Much better that they hear from a 24-year-old who isn't living in mom's basement, has their truck, has paid off their student loan, is planning their family and buying a house. And that's what The Voice does. It mobilizes our nation's manufacturing ambassadors with consistent messaging, tools, and resources. And we'll look forward to sharing that with our nation's manufacturers on Manufacturing Day. So we're really excited about it.
Great. We look forward to hearing about it, and if we can, because we'll be on the air occasionally, we'll be grabbing that information after Manufacturing Day from you. And anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners as we wrap up our discussion of Manufacturing Day today, which is officially on Friday, October 2nd, but really runs sometime from the last Manufacturing Day on forward through the month of October and going forward into the future?
For the listening audience, if you are a manufacturer, I would invite you to accept the challenge of participating in Manufacturing Day. You really need to control the dialogue and the direction that your organization needs to go. And your community right outside your doors is the best place to start that dialogue. So open your facility up and get people inside and let them see what goes on. That's your best opportunity to attract people. And in terms of your general audience who are consumers, go to mfgj.com, find an event in your area, and go visit and participate. And through your conversations, be part of helping influence other young people to consider what manufacturing has to offer for their future career, for their future growth of their family, and certainly for the growth of the community that you live in currently.
Folks, I want to thank you for being on the show. This was really a terrific show. It's a terrific event, and I think it's a good cause for the whole country. And I appreciate the three of you being here. And we're going to be wrapping up here in a minute. And I just want to remind everybody to come to mfgtalkradio.com. We're going to be having a lot of the interviews and videos of this past this week posted up on our show by the end of the week and into next week. I'm going to flip this back to Tim to do the wrap.
Chandra, thanks for being on the show today.
My pleasure. Every day is Manufacturing Day.
Jennifer, thanks for being with us.
You bet. I'll echo that.
And Ed, thank you again for being on our show.
More than welcome. Look forward to running into you guys somewhere on Manufacturing Day.
Yes, we certainly will look forward to that. Thank you, everyone, for being on the show. That's kind of a wrap for today.
Thank you all.
Stay tuned at mfgtalkradio.com for upcoming shows.
Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at mfgtalkradio.com.